not understand. Hesitation in obedience and discussion of the right of intervention of the representatives of Christ are a sign that people are no longer living their faith in Christ, that they are no longer fully conscious of what Christ has willed the church should be for them. The church, then, is Christ, continuing his mission on earth of drawing souls into union with the Father, into the family of the Blessed Trinity. We are not, therefore, fully attentive to the life of the church if we content ourselves with accepting what is defined by her and accomplishing certain ritual practices at stated intervals. A fortiori, we are out of touch with the church's life if we allow the spirit of the French Revolution into our hearts, and thus come to imagine that the church, by which Christ elevates our natural life and heals its wounds, is in any way an enemy of our rightful development and of our true personal self-expression. The church is the body of Christ, and in it Christ is living again, Bethlehem, Nazareth, and Calvary. All the members of the body are meant to live in union of faith and love with Christ, represented by the heads of the church. We can thus have a better grasp of the horror of Luther's attack on the visible body of Christ, and of the significance of the proclamation of the supremacy of naturalism at the French Revolution. As the 19th century advanced and the mentality resulting from the revolt against the divine plan spread, many errors against the life of the mystical body were diffused abroad, so that even Catholics run the risk of being contaminated. In the syllabus, Pope Pius IX cataloged these errors, especially, but not exclusively, in regard to the rites of the mystical body and to politics, thus giving to Catholics a negative test of their fidelity to Christ the King. If anyone holds any of these propositions, he has to that extent passed from under the rule of the great captain, Christ. The syllabus of Pope Pius IX warns us, then, of the rocks and quicksands of error. Since the appearance of that noble document, a positive program, whereby the politics and economics of nations may again be brought into harmony with the life of the mystical body, has been elaborated by the succeeding popes. The duties of Catholics in view of the return of the political life of states to the rule of Christ have been developed in the encyclicals of Pope Leo XIII, Pope Pius X, and Pope Pius XI. We have seen the mystical body of Christ, the Catholic ideal of the native land, the Catholic family, and the development of personality in the child, attacked in the name of the so-called rights of pantheistically deified man. But we can also see the rights of God proclaimed by Pope Pius XI in a vast synthesis embracing all the points attacked. Pope Pius XI has treated on the mystical body of Christ in the encyclicals on reparation to the Sacred Heart and on true religious unity, of the Catholic concept of patria or native land in Ubi Arcano Dei, and quas primus of the Christian family in Casti Connubii, on Christian marriage, followed by Pope Leo XIII's Arcanum Divinae Sapientiae, and of the personality of the child in that sublime document Divini Ilius Magistri on the Christian education of youth. Divini Ilius Magistri on the Christian education of youth. The crowning appeal of Pope Pius XI for the rights of God addressed to all those who still believe in God and adore him loyally has come in the encyclical Caritate Christi Compulsi, in which he cries out, quote, "We cannot refrain from raising our voice and with all the energy of our apostolic heart, taking the defense of the downtrodden rights of God and of the most sacred sentiments of the human heart that has an absolute need of God. And this all the more, since these hostile forces, impelled by the spirit of evil, do not content themselves with mere clamor, but unite all their strength in order to carry out at the first opportunity their nefarious designs. Woe to mankind if God, thus spurned by his creatures, allows, in his justice, free course to this devastating flood and uses it as a scourge to chastise the world." End of quote.